We're doing the Sefer HaMidot, we're up to page Kuf Mem Dalet. The Magid Midovna had been describing that even within mitzvos, when a person goes out of equilibrium, then the mitzvah can become a sin. And he had said that very often a person could be very excited about the mitzvah he thinks he's doing, when in fact what he's doing is destructive. The fact that on the outside it looks like a mitzvah doesn't mean that he's on target inside the mitzvah. It could be within a mitzvah that a person's off target, and then his actions can have dire consequence. And he said if a person wants to test it, he should take the test that David HaMelech said. He said, Mizkeni mitbonan. He says, when I want to gauge myself, am I on the right path or am I off? So I look at the elders, I look at the forefathers, and I say, are my actions in line with theirs? Is my way of life like theirs? And then I could realize, when I look at the predecessors, when I look at the elders, I look and I can see if I've watched your mitzvos. A wise person realizes that what we've said is true. He says a person will cease to try and outsmart the laws of Hashem. A person doesn't have to try and outsmart or outdo the mitzvos. Someone said a very nice line this past Shabbos. You don't have to be frummer than God. The Torah is firm enough. The Torah gave us mitzvos. We have to work within the framework of the mitzvos, and the Torah taught us how to be considerate and kind. How poignant were the words of our sages on the verse in the Song of Songs where the woman says, I am black yet beautiful. Shechora ani b'maasai, my actions are black, v'navam maasai avotai, and beautiful in the actions of my forefathers. Chatzal omar kasher evchali ani batzmi lasot maasim lefi omidati. If I decide what's right, if I have to decide what's moral for society, if I'm going to write the laws for tzahal, when you shoot and when you don't shoot, if I have to take a human vision of what's just and fair, so then my actions are black. Kefi asharati, if I want to evaluate what's moral, as shchorani b'maasai, then my actions end up black. B'navani rak b'maasai avotai. When am I beautiful? When I stick to my tradition. When I stick to the way my forefathers behaved. Kasher esek moshasu avotai. Kasher evcha b'darkeim v'esek maaseihem. When I choose their way, and when I act like they did, b'lishtonut kol mu'uma, without changing it, hu aderech hanaot v'anibchal. That's the beautiful and chosen path. Az chefetz Hashem b'yado yatzliach. Then one knows that he's in line with God's desire, and he will be successful. And the path of truth shines before him. And that's a phenomenal point, what he's saying now. Very often we're very tempted. It's a new age, it's a new situation, and every generation has their new values. I often like to tell youngsters that the Puritans... they used to have in the public square a stock where if a woman spoke too much, then her husband could have her put in the stock with a special clip with her tongue held outside because she spoke too much. So she'd have to learn her lesson. They were moral, weren't they? Every generation has what they consider moral. The founding fathers had slaves, and they considered that moral. There are many things that today are considered normal, whereas only 150 years ago, one could get the death penalty for them. And 100 years ago, a woman couldn't own land in most of the world. Is that moral? So today, they think one thing is moral. Then they thought another thing was moral. The world's moral values keep changing, generation after generation. You go back 500 years ago, it was a given. Just like you smack your kid when he misbehaves and you teach him something, same thing with your wife. You beat him with a stick, you beat her with a stick. Everyone, you know, that's your job as a parent. That wasn't understood. If you want to be a good father, that's your responsibility in the home. That was never the case in Judaism. But that was the case in the rest of the world. So
why do we learn from the laws of the 17th Tammuz until now not to hit the school children?
I didn't say about children. I was talking about wives.
About children.
I didn't mean the children part of it. About children, so Chazal did hit with sticks. I don't think they hit brutally. You see that the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra there was a school teacher who hit brutally, and the rabbis insisted that he be fired. You do see that that they were on top of it. It's not like that was something that was done, but it wasn't done with brutality. You see that it says in Maseches Derech Eretz that there were parents who pointed to their kids that they would punish them, and the kids went and committed suicide. And that's why the halacha says that a parent is never allowed to threaten with a punishment. You want to punish a kid? Punish him now. You tell him you will punish him, it's beyond his capacity to fathom. In his mind it expands, and it's much, much worse in his imagination than it's really going to be. And so Chazal forbade that, for example. So you see, Chazal were concerned not only for the physical well-being, but also for the psychological well-being of children. There are many things that we see within the halachic framework about Chazal's concern. The fact that they hit with sticks, okay, you know, there's hitting with a stick in a way that the kid can't walk for a week, and there's hitting with a stick in a way that gets the message across. I don't know that, I think that times have changed, our lives have changed, and whatever they instructed for chinuch was different than what we instruct for chinuch, for good reason. You know, everything we do is different than the way they did it. and the halacha approves of it too. But I still think that for one to beat one's wife is a little different. So that was the point I was trying to make. In the Jewish world, that was never accepted. Nan halacha, nan hashkafa, nan anything. And if you look around the world, you see that was once a socially accepted, normal way of behavior. I mean, for most of the history of the world, that was accepted. We've been consistent, and our consistency is our strength. And that consistency is the recognition that we have a system, and if I'm working within that system, so Hashem knows how to set up the system for me. Yes, granted, I need to have rabbis who have a tradition and know when and how and within what limits they have to guide within the system. And that's why, for example, there are things that shifted. If in Chazal's time they hit with a stick, today the general instruction in chinuch is not to hit at all. So yes, within the system, the rabbis can guide me as to what's right, what are the balances that fit our generation. But at the same time, it's within the system. And that's what he's stressing. That those who stick to the system can know that they're within a moral system. And those that are going to go with the passing fads, so okay, so the morals of the world keep changing. And that's indicative of the fact that they're not godly. Yeah.
Interestingly, I think I heard on the flip side that, like, you know, maybe whatever it was, maybe 20 years ago in the world, like, at least the Western world really put a stop to, training kids in the, you know, schools. But the Jewish world, like, even the Orthodox world, accepted that practice too, you know, stopping beneficial.
Well, you always have to know. First of all, we definitely benefit from psychological research. We're not ignoring the outside world. We're just trying to take what's good about it. Secondly, certain things are not ideal. Certain things we take because situations are less than ideal. We have to adapt ourselves to the situation we live in. In a theoretical world, maybe a child would have enough self-confidence, a child would have enough love, the system would look different, and then my tools of education would be different, and I'd be able to maybe attain more. In our system today, where children don't have the self-confidence they used to have, they don't have the love they used to have, so although it would seem like we're giving our children more, on a deeper level, we're giving our children much less. There's a reason why we can no longer learn the Musar Sfarim of 150 years ago. We don't have that healthy self-confidence. If we read those books, they could destroy us. So what we have and who we are and what we give our children has changed. So it's true that sometimes we have to adapt our system because we're not where we're supposed to be. But that's a fact. You're not going to change that. You could work on changing that. It's good to change that. We always try to get better. But at the end of the day, this is where we're at. So we don't learn the works they learned 150 years ago, because we're not strong enough to learn that and to accept it in a healthy way. By the same token, the way we educate our children is also going to be different. You know, in the days of the Gemara, a Rebbe would never be caught dead eating with his students or playing ball with his students. Today, part of what builds a relationship, they do play ball with the kids and they do eat with the kids. It's a different world. And it's not necessarily reflective of anything positive. I'm not sure that we've advanced. In many ways, we've digressed. But at the same time, we have to adapt to the facts on the ground. I was just talking about an orphan that I haven't been able to invite to our home, who I want to invite for quite a while, and he comes to shiur my give elsewhere. And I was talking to one of his rabbeim, and I said, I'm hoping during the summer to be able to invite him. And one of the benefits, I think, that will happen when he's at our home is that he'll see me in pajamas. Because until now, he always sees me as the rabbi giving the class. And being that if this is a kid who really doesn't have a father or a mother, or really he's left with one grandmother, that's who he has in the world. So I said, you know, that distance has to break. That's what he needs. Okay, different scenarios, different situations require different tools. It's not always ideal, but we have to be practical. We have to be realistic. Chazal didn't want the average student to see the Rebbe in pajamas. Chazal wanted the Rebbe to represent the Torah, and if he's representing the Torah, he has to behave a certain way. He's not supposed to eat in front of them. But when you have an orphan, so then he needs different things. It's a different story. I'm saying, so you're right, things adapted over the last century. But sometimes they adapted to problematic situations that we have.